Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. It's fantastic to see you as well, too. Man, it's a beautiful day out.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day out. I'm glad you all could make it today. I'm glad that, you know, there wasn't the hindrance of rain at all today as well, too. Please turn your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, if you're joining us for the first time today, for the last couple of weeks, we've been going over a series in the book of Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. And we've titled this series, The World Is Not Enough. Mm-hmm. Right? The world is not enough. Now, if you're a movie person like me, you will know that's the title of a James Bond movie.
Yes.
Right? That's if you're a movie person. And if you were born in the time period I was born. Because I'm sure some people would look and say, hey, What? Is a movie like that?
Yes.
There is. Some people say, what is James Bond? It happens. You know, it happens. But here, we've been looking at this series. And of course, knowing that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, what was the theme of that book? Well, the theme of that book is pretty much Solomon pointing out that there's nothing in this world that you acquire that would satisfy.
Yeah.
You know, Solomon was in the best place to be able to make this judgment. Why? Because there was nothing Solomon did not have.
Yeah, come on.
Whatever it is you can imagine, whatever it is that you can dream about, whatever it is that you can just create with your creative mind,
yeah.
You know, Solomon had that and more.
Yeah.
Whether it was in wisdom, whether it was with works, whether it was with women, whether it was with wealth,
yeah.
Solomon had it in abundance and more.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, after everything he acquired, what did he say? He said, man, all of this is meaningless.
True.
You know, the Hebrew word for meaningless means is evel. And what does evel mean? Evel means vapor.
Yeah.
You know, you boil water. And by the very first time, I was asked to boil water. I can't remember who that was. Now, when I was talking to boil the water, was it like my mom or an aunt or something? Now, they didn't tell me you cover the pot.
Ooh.
I put the water in. And I went, expecting it's okay, waiting for it to boil with bubbles and everything.
Yeah.
The way I've seen other people do it.
Yeah.
But it's getting hot, but it's not bubbling.
Mm-hmm.
And the water keeps reducing. So I'll come and I'll add more.
Oh no!
I'll go, come back again, same thing has happened. I'll come and I'll add more. After like almost two hours or something, my mom asks me, what about the water I asked you to boil? I've been boiling, it has not boiled since. And then she came to the kitchen. And she said, what do you mind about since? I said, I will leave it here. I will go into the kitchen and I'll come back and the water will have reduced. She said, did you cover it? And I'm like, you didn't tell me to cover it.
Yeah.
You
know,
you give me specific instructions. Boil water is boil water.
Yeah.
But if you want me to do it properly, tell me, put the pot on, put the water in, and then cover it. We'll put the cover on it.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's a long-standing story between my mother and I. But you see, that is what this life is.
Yeah.
And Solomon writes about life under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Life under the sun, S-U-N.
Yes.
And he says, you know, ultimately, life under the sun is meaningless without a relationship with the sun.
Yes.
He says, whatever it is that we acquire, whatever it is that we accrue in this life, none of it will satisfy us like a relationship with God.
That's right.
Now, that's really very difficult to kind of understand. And so it really amazed me when I read about the story. I read about the story of Alexander the Great. And if you haven't, you should. There are three requests he made. I think I've shared this before, but the three requests he made before his death. So after he made those three requests, people were wondering. His generals were wondering, why is he making such strange requests? What were the requests? He said, well, after I die, I want my doctors to be the one to carry my body to the burial site. And he says, on the way to the burial site, I want people to spread my wishes. Just toss through them left and right along the path to where I'll be buried. And then also, in my coffin, I want my hands to be hanging out for everyone to see. They were strange requests. People were like, for what? He said, so they asked him, what's the reason for this? So he tells them, I want my doctors to carry my body to the burial ground because I want people to know that even the best doctors in the world cannot cure death. For the second request, he says, you know, I want people to know that, you know, all the riches I amassed in this world, and he amassed a lot. All the riches I amassed in this world, you know, I took none of it. All the riches I amassed in this world remain in this world. Right? And then the third one, he says, I want people to see my hands that they were empty when I went into the ground. that I took nothing with me. This was Alexander the Great.
Yeah, come on,
come on.
Alexander the Great. And you see, this actually ties in what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about a very, very sensitive word. One that, you know, people might not necessarily like to talk about today. Why? Because it's just, it's sad. Or it's bad. Or let me use Gen Z terms. It's just bad vibes.
Talk about it.
You know, negative vibes.
You know,
if it's not positive vibes, I want good vibes only.
Come on, good vibes.
Because sadly, this world is not only good vibes.
Yeah, talk about it.
All right, today we're going to talk about death. I know.
Wow.
I know. It's kind of like.
That's scary.
I didn't come to church to hear about death. To hear about life. But there's no life without death.
That's strong. Talk about it.
Right? And death, let me just encourage you, death is not morbid to talk about. It's not like, it's depressing to talk about. It's necessary to be aware of it so that we can learn, so that we learn how we should live now. And so that we can be ready for it. But also, it's important because death is not the end. It's only the beginning. If you are here, you're here for a specific reason, because you believe. If you are in this room at all, then obviously it's because you believe in God and you believe that, okay, there's something after this life. So we're not talking about death today. And that of our lesson today is our inevitable destiny.
Let's go, bro.
Because that's what death is. It is our inevitable destiny. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Is everyone there?
Where
are you, bro? Okay, we can all flip together. Because I'm not there yet, too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. This is what it says. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. All right? So, yeah, it's trust me, it's one of the letters to the churches. I'll read it again from verse 13. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. That's quite interesting. Verse 14, it says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with those, will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Right? What does it mean to fall asleep in him? It means, you know, dying as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a true follower of Christ. All right? Oh, does that mean, as long as I believe, you know, that makes me a follower of Christ? We'll talk about that. But the answer, short answer is no. But we'll talk about that. And it goes on, verse 15, it says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who are falling asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, of course, we all know rapture, trumpet, boom, right? Everybody has said about it. We've heard about it before.
Yeah.
And it's saying here, the trumpet will be sounded, right? In verse 17, it says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Come on, Paul. Paul is saying, look. The end is going to come.
Yes.
There are some that will have died before then. Alright? When Jesus comes back, they're going to rise first and go be with him. And those that will be alive when it comes will be caught up to be with him as well too. Alright? And he says, encourage one another with these words. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
Isn't that encouraging? It's like, you know, I like Paul. It reminds me of that scripture that, you know, he told... all that scripture in the book of Acts, right, where he encouraged the church. He said, hey, through many hardships, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom.
Well.
So be encouraged by this.
Well?
How? You are telling me that we'll go through hardships. I asked you to be encouraged. But that's what the Bible says.
Yeah, come on.
You see, I always tell people, like, you know, if you have an issue, of what the Bible says, your issue is not with me.
Yeah.
If I read a scripture and, you know, you catch feelings, your issue is not with me.
Let's go, bro.
You know, I am not the source of your problem.
Yeah.
You have an issue with the scriptures.
Yeah, come on.
But you see right here, it says when the trumpet sounds, trust me, it will drown out everything. People might think, oh, if I'm walking underground, if I'm like in a mining, in a mine, will I hear it? Yes, you will.
Yep.
Yes, you will. He said, what if I'm, you know, and I'm somewhere where there's like these large industrial sounds, like machines working everywhere around me? Will I hear? It will catch your attention. It will catch you. If you are working in a nursery and all the kids in there are just yelling at the top of their voices, it will catch your attention.
Let's go, bro.
You see, but like it says here, encourage one another with these words.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to ask a question like this. Have you been encouraging people lately, talking about death? Now, if I ask that question before I read the scripture, you'll have thought, this guy is crazy.
Yeah.
No wonder he's from Nigeria. that's where I'm from, by the way. If I'd asked if I read the scripture, you'd have thought there's something wrong with him. But now that I've read the scripture, I can ask the question. But what have you encouraged lately with these words, talking about death? I bet no one, eh? But see, that's the problem. You see, we don't think about death in a positive way,
yeah.
Right? We think about it like we think about it in the same way the world thinks about it. That's why it says here that you should not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope, in verse 13. Right? We think about death the same way the world thinks about death, like there is no hope. But if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
a true follower of Christ, you know there is hope.
Yeah.
You know, so you shouldn't be even morbid about talking about it.
Yeah.
But you see, but sir, what happens when people say, you know, when I die, God forbid. you don't think you will die? You don't think you will die? There's this very popular Nigerian musician, you probably know him, his name is Two-Face.
Mm-hmm.
In his because Botswana is away from everybody else. That's why. His name is Two-Face. And in his early years of his career, this song is a very popular song. And the line in the song says, you know, nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, and it's true. Nobody wants to die, but everybody wants to go to heaven. But if you don't want to die, how are you going to get there? You want to live forever?
Talk about it.
Come on.
You know, this is not, you know, that Jay-Z song.
Yeah.
It's not that Jay-Z song. Forever young, I want to be forever young. No. Some of you are probably wondering, why is he singing Jay-Z? Because I had a past before I became a pastor.
Amen. Come on.
You think I'm going to stand up and be like, I was born. And then from when I was young, I've been preaching. That's not my story. One day you get to hear it, but that's not my story.
Come on. Preach, Tony.
But the point here is this. Right? You see, people in the world talk about death in the way they do because they have no hope.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, we have to understand, because if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you understand what comes after death.
Yeah.
Right? You understand that, man, you're heaven bound. But are you excited to even go to heaven?
Mm.
Are you excited like, woo, man, I'm just thinking about heaven, man. When I first get there. Me, when I first get there, I don't even know. I think I'll be, when they open the gates, I'll just fall flat. Like, ha! I'll tell God, I say, it was hard. It was hard. No, I can't walk in. I have to roll in. The way, how hard it was, I have to roll in.
Come on,
you know, that's just maybe my dramatic self. But are you fired up about heaven?
Yeah.
You see, some people are, while others are not.
Yeah.
But how come, why is that? You see, the thing is, if you don't get excited, if you don't get fired up for God here, like, man, anything about God, I'm just excited to do it. Anything that has nothing to do with God, count me out. If you're not excited and fired up for God here on earth, well, guess what? You will get fired up without God later.
Ooh. Oh, snap.
Shock.
Oh, snap. Come on, someone, preach.
Talk about it.
Yes.
That's deep, bro.
You don't get fired up for God now, you're going to get fired up without Him later. You know, And so, how do we need to live on this earth as a result of this fact? What should be our focus? We know that, okay, there's going to be an end. But then what should be our focus? Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians 1.
Let's go, bro.
Philippians chapter 1. What should be our focus? Philippians chapter 1. I feel like my Bible turns too fast, eh?
Let's go, bro.
I mean, Genesis is the next thing I know. I mean, Timothy. Philippians chapter 1 from verse 21. Philippians 1 from verse 21. And this is what Paul says to the church in Philippi. Now, the book of Philippians is one of the books that Paul wrote, one of the letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. And this is what he says. He says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's quite interesting. He says to live is Christ, but then to die is gain. And it goes on, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. That's quite interesting. It says, I desire to be with Christ, and that's better by far. But it is necessary for me to be with you in the body. And it continues on, it says, verse 25, that's what I was going to read to. But you see right here, you know, we have to ask ourselves, like, if I ask you, who are you, what would you say? Right, who are you? Right, someone has to be like, hey, you know, I'm a student. You know, I'm a student at one of the best universities, in the best university in Kenya. The University of Nairobi. That's the best university in Kenya.
Come on.
You know, that's very rare. Yeah. But let's won't get into that. We won't get into that. But he says that if people ask, who are you? Oh, I'm an engineer. All right. Oh, I'm a accounting professional. You know, I'm a CEO. I'm a COO. All right. It's very rare that you find out that the first answer to that question is, I'm a Christian.
Yeah,
it's very rare.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare. And that's always one of the things. For me, I got my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. Right? I got my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering at a private university in Nigeria. It's called Covenant University. And I got my master's degree in internet engineering at the University College London. And for me, I was going to be an IT professional.
Let's go, bro.
You know, I was going to be an IT engineer. And, you know, everything started going up well. I got my certification with Cisco's CCNA and CCNP as well, too. I remember there was this guy, my classmate from master's degree from Trinidad and Tobago. The guy asked me, like, man, you should move to TNT. That, you know, man, bro, you get a great job there. You're so smart, you're so talented. Mm-hmm. And I considered it, Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, come on, bro.
It's a Caribbean country, it's a country in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. It's an island nation as well. Hey. I could consider that too.
Yeah.
I could see myself on the beach there, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know? But that was who I saw myself as until I studied the Bible. But to Paul here, Paul says to live is Christ. That if I'm living for Christ and for nothing else. And Paul wasn't like some raggedy guy. Paul was like one of the best trained Pharisees. He was trained by one of the best Pharisees back in that time. Right, you can even tell from his letters how educated he was. Right, but we have to ask ourselves, you know, whatever it is that we attach to ourselves, whether it's an accolade, whether it's a position, whether it's a reputation, prestige, whatever it is, the question here is, well, will it matter when you stand before God? When you stand before God, and it says, so who are you? Well, let me tell you, I was a senior engineer at the Royal Dutch Shell Company. God's probably like, what does that mean?
That's true, bro.
Talk about it.
But down here, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Senior engineer, Royal Dutch.
Yeah.
Senior manager at Tesla. Let me use terms that we understand here. Maybe senior manager at KCB.
Okay.
You know, deputy CEO. Safaricom,
yeah.
Yes,
you know, like yeah. That's where I was. Or I was a CS, you know, in my county. But what would that matter when we stand before God?
Come on, Talani.
You see, gain is good.
Yeah.
Like Paul says here, you know, to die is gain. Gain is good, gain is positive. Right? But you see, Paul's desire was to go to heaven. That was his desire. His desire was to go to heaven. Alright? But his focus was to be with God's people. But where is your focus? Is it to be with God's people? Or is it to be elsewhere? You see, in God's church, we're here for each other. That's the reason why we had the fellowship break.
Yeah.
Like, hey, go meet somebody, say hi, you know. Yeah. You know, have a chat.
Yeah.
Some probably feel very strange.
Yeah.
Like, what? She's weird. We just come, we sit down, we look at the person that's up front here. After we say amen, amen. After we are done, we all stand up and then we head back to our cars and head back to our homes.
Yeah.
We don't do that here.
Yeah, come on.
Here, we actually want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, we actually want to know what your name is.
Yeah.
We're interested in learning about your life. Yeah. And we share about ours as well, too.
Yeah, come on.
Because that's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
It's not just you come, you listen, and then you go. I've backed my attendance for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, church, check.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Tanani.
Talk about it, bro.
That's not what we do here.
Yeah.
And you see, we're here for each other. We're here to help each other progress to heaven.
Amen.
One of the reasons people fear death is because they believe, deep down, they believe they will not make it to heaven.
Wow, deep.
Does that surprise you?
Bro.
One of the many reasons people fear death, but they don't want to talk about it, it's because deep down, they know. They know. Ah, this path I'm on.
Yeah, that's true, bro.
Yeah, I know it's not good. But sometimes, the love of a good time is stronger than the love for God.
Yeah, come on, Talani, preach.
That is so true, bro.
You know, the fear of missing out. And what all my friends are talking about is stronger than the fear of God. Which is it for you? You see, we as disciples believe that we help people to progress to heaven. So which means, as a disciple, if you're not helping someone else progress and be joyful, then you're not fulfilling your purpose as a disciple. You know, the reason we are not taking, because when you become a disciple, you repent, you get baptized for forgiveness of your sins, and then you raise back up to that new life. The reason you're not taken to heaven immediately, right, is because you still have a purpose to fulfill down here on earth.
That's true.
That's the reason why. Because God saved us so that we can help others get saved. So which is the reason why you're still here, if you claim to be saved, if you claim, I'm a Christian, born again Christian. What else have you helped to be born again?
Ask us, bro.
Great question.
Who are you currently helping to be born again? Sometimes I talk to people and they're like, you know what? You know, I remember when I was in secondary school, I used to just, you know, preach everywhere and be ready. Okay, that's fantastic. But secondary school was 10 years ago.
Come on, Talani.
Or when I was in university, this. University was 5 years ago. How about now?
Yeah.
What's happening now?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the purpose that we have as Christians. It's not to sit in our salvation, but actually to now use your salvation to help many others get saved.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn more about that today. Let's get into the book of Ecclesiastes.
Come on, let's go.
You know, Solomon knew that dealing with death is something we need to talk about.
Yeah.
All right? And this French mathematician, Blaise Pascal, that said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Blaise Pascal. For the students here, Pascal's triangle. Right? That's the guy who puts... Who's giving you a hard time, making you go through a hard time in school now? If you take mathematics as a core subject or as a core unit. Blaise Pascal, that's what he said. There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. You see, God puts this in our hearts so that we can understand that this life on earth here is not all there is.
Talk about it. Yeah.
You know, while we're talking about death today, you know the funny thing is, there's a guy who founded a group or a meetup known as Death Cafe. His name is John Underwood. He founded something called a Death Cafe. What do? People come, they meet up. There's coffee, there's tea, there's snacks, whichever one is your fancy, and then we sit down and talk about death.
What?
Yeah. They sit down and talk about death. What happens after here? What happens after this? What? And this stuff spread like you won't believe it. From the US across, from West Coast to the East Coast, to Europe, to China. Death cafes. Yeah, you just Google it, you just see the list. Many countries. It spread, I think it's about 80 countries or something like that. Spread like wildfire. People just come, they meet up, they sit down and talk about death. And one of the reasons I was reading about this, one of the reasons why the guy started was because, you know, he wanted to create a safe space for people to come and talk about death and not feel judged and not be looked at or treated as weird. So people will go there and it spread like wildfire.
Wow.
Like wildfire. I think the only thing that kind of put a stop to it was COVID. Because you know COVID now, you can't go out, you can't hear, stay in your house. But I'm sure they probably have it virtually now or something.
Come on.
And people were sharing, there are people that are interviewing, like, they're like, you know what, coming here to talk about this helps me to be able to get more out of life.
Wow.
It helps me to be able to see how much more, you know, I can get out of life. It helps me to be able to see how much more I should view life.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, these are not Christians.
Wow.
So you think, oh, maybe they are not Christians. So, if the world is comfortable talking about death, then why should we be afraid to talk about it?
Talk about it.
If the world is comfortable talking about death, why should we be afraid to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, our title today, that's our lesson today, is Our Inevitable Destiny. So what does inevitable mean? Right? Well, it means it's something that is certain to happen, something that is unavoidable.
Mm. That's true, bro.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Very, very true. You see, destiny is the result of events that happen to us in the future. So inevitable means something that's unavoidable. Destiny is a result of events that happen to us in the future. So which makes death the inevitable destiny? Because everybody will die. You just might not know when or how, but it's certain that it's going to happen in our future. It's the part of our future that we all get to experience. No discrimination. No racism, no xenophobia, no tribalism, nothing like that. Yaluo, Yaluya, Yakikuyu, Yakalenjin, and the remaining 40 odd tribes as well. I couldn't memorize everything, I'm sorry. Kamba, you know, I just know a few. But it doesn't discriminate. You see, it's unavoidable. The good news here is that our physical death is not our final destination. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, this is where we're picking it up from. You see, we're going to be looking at the literary structure of Ecclesiastes is chiastic. All right? C-H-I-A-S-T-I-C. It's chiastic. So what does that mean? It's like a sandwich. In a sandwich, you have the bread at the bottom, the bread at the top. Right? And then depending on how you want to arrange what's in the middle, if you want to put your vegetables before the ham or whatever not. But let's think about it as just a proper sandwich with the ham in the middle. So you have the bread at the top, the bread at the bottom, and then you have the meat in the middle. So that's what we're going to do today. Our first point looks at the bread at the top. Our second point looks at the bread at the bottom. Then the final point is the meat in the middle.
Okay.
So that's how we're going to look at it today.
Point
number one, my first point is death is inevitable. Stop fearing it. Death is inevitable. Stop fearing it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 from verse 1 to 6. It says, so I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do, and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean. Those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. You see, right here, Solomon is talking from the perspective of people who are not thinking about God. They are just thinking about the life under the sun here. You know, this life under the sun here, how can I make the most of it? What can I get? How can I enjoy it? Right? And there's a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, if you never take risks, you will never accomplish great things. Everybody dies, but not everyone has lived.
Woo! That's deep, bro.
When I saw this, when I read it, I was like, eh.
Yeah.
It is, if you never take risks, you will never accomplish great things.
Yeah.
Everybody dies, but not everyone has lived.
That's true.
It reminds me of this song by One Republic that I like. It's called I Lived. You know, and I mean, the basis of the song is different, but the words are quite, you think about the words, they're quite deep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But see, the truth is, life is pretty much filled with risks.
Yeah.
Right? You ask someone to marry you, that's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
It's a risk. Most of you have seen the videos now, trending on social media. The guy who goes there, he has a quartet playing or something, and goes down on one knee. And the lady's like, oh my goodness. And then you think she's just blown away. And the next, when she brings the hand down, why did you do this?
Oh no.
It's a risk.
It is, bro.
It's a massive risk.
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, this is someone you want to spend the rest of your life with. Right? You have to, okay, are there things that I cannot bear? Are there things that I cannot tolerate? What about them? Is there something that they cannot tolerate? He or she? Right? You have to wonder about all of this. So it's a risk. Right? Starting a business is a risk.
That's true.
You don't know if it's going to fail or if it's going to grow. Right? You don't know. You could come back one day and, you know, maybe your store has been raided. All your goods have been cleared out. Or you could come back one day and the next thing, some government agency comes and says, hey, we did not pay your tax, so we are sealing your business. But we are sealing your business or something like that. It's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
What else is a risk? Becoming a disciple is a risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, about it.
That's true, bro.
Talk about it.
Because people have the mindset. I've met people who have the mindset, not everybody, but I've met the mindset like, man, if I become a Christian, my life should be smooth. Well, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
After Paul became a Christian, he was living in a palace, right?
No.
He was being chauffeured around.
No.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Or maybe Peter.
No.
After he became a Christian, owned the city and became the governor of the city.
No.
So I was asking, well, where in the Bible does it say that if I become a Christian, my life should be smooth? If you show it to me, I will start teaching from today. Because I've been reading this Bible for 9 years now. Examining, I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, come on.
And you see right here, but the truth is, whether you go on a mission team, even developing, progressing, advancing, whether you are seeking to get a promotion at work, whether you are seeking to, you know, go take a better paying job somewhere, it's all a risk.
Yeah.
Right, it's all a risk. What if you take the job and you can't handle the pressure? What if you move somewhere else for a new business opportunity and, you know, it just doesn't favor you in any way, shape, or form? Right, what happens then? You see, but the truth is, if you don't take risks, you don't live.
That's true, bro. Come on, bro.
That's why I said, no risk, no rewards.
That's true.
Right, but the thing is, but sadly, people can get upset and question God when things go wrong in their life, or when things do not go right in their life. And the question is, and you ask them, like, why hasn't God blessed me? I've done all this. Wow. Where's my blessing? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, the question here is, what are you risking for him? Why should he bless you? What are the risks you've taken for him? We can stand here and talk about Peter and Paul and Jesus and Moses and Abraham. We can talk about them all day long.
Yeah.
But those guys took risks for God. What risk have you taken for him? You see, he says it's very simple. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives. So how are you living? The point Solomon is making here is that no matter who a person is, we all suffer the same misfortune, which is called death.
Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter your position. Like I said, death does not discriminate. Right. This year, a news that hits Nigeria like a sledgehammer was the CEO of the Access Holding Company. So the holding company that Access Bank is under, the guy who sits at the top of it all, died in a helicopter crash.
Wow.
Like, this is not like CEO of Access Bank. No. The banks are under a holding company, which means there are other companies that the company also has interest in as well too. So the guy who sits at the head of it all, 57 years old, he was in the helicopter with his wife and one of his children and one other person as well too. They were going to watch the Super Bowl in the US.
Wow.
The helicopter crashed. You think he planned that?
Nope.
You think he saw it coming?
No.
No, he did not. But how are you living? You see, Solomon here is talking, in this scripture here, he's talking about how our circumstances are not an accurate gauge to see whether God is for us or against us. You know? That's the mindset of things are going well. God is blessing me. God is great. God is awesome. Things are not going well. God, why? I'm angry at you.
Talk about it, bro.
It's quite interesting because this same misfortune can befall anybody.
Yeah. That's so true.
All right? In Matthew 5, verse 45, it says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Yeah.
So anyone can befall anyone. Right, but like I said, some people think when things are going great, God is blessing them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, think, oh, there's a lot of money, it's not God that's blessing me. If that was the case, then that means the richest man in Africa should be the most spiritual person amongst us, should be the most righteous person.
Talk about it, bro.
Should be the most righteous person,
yeah.
The strongest Christian of all. You know, the richest person in Africa is
Dangote.
Exactly,
yeah.
Dangote. Dangote is Muslim. Last I checked, Aliko Dangote is his name. Last I checked, he's Muslim. And he has more, his net worth is higher than any other person on an African continent. I guess he's the most righteous person, eh?
No.
Great point. Come on, Salani.
Let's go, bro.
But I was thinking about this. Some people say, oh, you know, God is giving me all these blessings. I'm like, what if it is Satan who is putting those blessings in your life to make you too comfortable or too complacent to seek God? You're so comfortable, you don't see why you should rush to wake up in the morning and spend time with God. I can't do it this morning. Maybe I'll do it at night. It's easier for me to do it at night. You know? Too comfortable or too complacent. You know what? I want to do these Bible studies. I think they are nice. I think they're a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But I'll let you know. I'll get back to you. It's been 2 weeks now. I'll get back to you. I'll let you know when I'm free. Imagine if God took that approach with us as well too.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I feel like giving you life. I'll let you know if I want you to wake up this morning. I'll let you know if I want you to have good health. You know? I don't feel like it this morning. So let's see how long it can last. We just, you know, having a combination of malaria and typhoid, and also, you know, let's throw in some sleeping sickness there.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Talani.
No, imagine if God took the same approach with us.
Yeah.
But that's always one thing with us as human beings. Mm-hmm. Right? If God takes the same approach that we take with Him, mm-hmm. then God is not fair.
Yeah.
He's unfair. You know, but the truth is, if God is really being fair, we won't be alive today. Well does not prove that we are right with God.
Yeah.
You see, Satan can put all these things in our lives as well too. And you know why he's doing that? Satan knows where he's going. He knows where his end is. He knows what his own inevitable destiny is.
Yeah.
But he wants to make sure that he's not alone.
Yeah.
You see, misery loves company. Misery loves company. I want to be miserable. I also want you to be miserable. Mm-hmm. Let's be miserable together.
That's true, bro.
Talk about it.
I don't want to do anything productive for my life. I just want to feel bad and I want to drink my sorrows away. Mm. Why don't you come? Let's go and go and drink together.
Mm. Come on, Talani.
That's so true.
Or let's go. Let's go and get high together.
Mm.
Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you see, but that's the thing. It doesn't matter if you are strong or weak. It doesn't matter if you are wise or foolish. Death is a universal equalizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do to stop it from to stop it from coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, now that's those who are like, man, I'm rich, I have everything I need. Why do I need God? Actually, asked me that question one day. I have everything I want.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need God for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A professional guy, was a lawyer, did well in law school, got into the third best law firm in Nigeria. Third best in the country. You know, he was working under like senior partners of the firm. They were giving him all this. At the end of that work year, they gave him Rookie of the Year award.
Wow.
Yeah, getting attention from ladies here and there. And then we started to study the level, and he asked me, he said, look, I'm not in want or in need of anything. Everything I want, I have. Like, I can understand when someone doesn't have anything and then they seek God. But everything I want, I have. So, I mean, I don't... What reason is there really for me to seek God? Like, if God wants me to seek Him, why is He giving me all these things that is just, you know, giving me what I want?
Talk about it, bro.
And I ask myself, well, maybe God is giving you all these things you want because He wants to see if you will give it up for Him.
Wow.
You know, and then on the flip side, you know, we can have very daunting, difficult circumstances. Life is just hard, left, right, center. There's nothing we can do about it. And then we can try to lay the blame at God's feet, that it is God's fault. Right? But you see, we cannot question God because of our circumstances. When it is sin in this world, or even our own sin that has brought about the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. People talk about why do good things happen to bad people?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do good things happen to bad people?
Bro.
This person, they're so kind.
Yeah.
They're so loving. Why does that have to be done to contract cancer?
Talk about it, bro.
Why? Well, it's not God's fault.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's either our sin or sin in this world that has resulted in these circumstances. And really, if we're going to blame anyone, it really shouldn't be God.
Yeah.
Because God sent His Son down to die for us.
Yeah.
Right? He gave us an opportunity through His Son.
Yeah.
But yet, we complain about how bad the world is.
Mm-hmm.
When the real truth is, we're not doing anything to change it.
Yeah.
You know what Mahatma Gandhi said? Be the change you want to see. Is it Mahatma Gandhi? Yes. What's Mahatma Gandhi? Be the change you want to see.
Come on.
Right. We blame all the evil in this world on God. But the question is, what are you doing to change it?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
You know, what steps have you particularly done to change it? You know, I talked about how you are saved to not sit in your salvation. You are meant to use your salvation to now help others get saved as well.
Yeah.
Well, the question here is, but the thing here is, if we don't repent of our own sins, and if we don't try to help others to repent of their sins, then how dare we blame God about where the world is at? Who are you helping to repent of their sins? You know, and how much are you going after repenting of your own sins as well, too?
Ask us, bro.
Who are you inviting to learn? Who are you inviting to study the Bible and learn how to apply it to their lives?
Come on.
We can't complain that things are bad if we're not doing anything to even change it on our own sides.
That's so true, bro.
No, we can't. You know, like people say, oh, damn, this place is dirty. This city is dirty. Mm-hmm. And this, the judge, the government not doing any job in cleaning up the city. It's just so filthy. But then you buy a wrapper of this, you open it, you eat it, you squeeze it, you toss it on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Even on the wrapper, it says, dispose properly. It's there on the wrapper, if you look closely at it. But no, you just... And now imagine, I remember in Nairobi, what, 5.5 million? So imagine 5.5 million. Do that all day, every day. No, you think the city will be clean?
No.
It's not going to be clean. But what are you doing to bring about that change? Before laying the blame at God's feet. You know, in John 14.
Let's go, bro.
John chapter 14. Right here, Jesus says something very inspiring. Remember, the point is, death is inevitable.
Yeah.
Stop. Why are you afraid of it?
Come on.
You know, before I studied the Bible, I used to have that fear. You know, and I think I shared it before. I had this game plan. You know, once if a car hits me, or you know, in the last seconds of my life, you know, while I'm lying there on the ground, God, please forgive me my sins. Accept my soul into your kingdom. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That was my plan. That was my plan. I don't know if that sounded familiar to you, but that was my plan. In the last few moments, I will enjoy my life to the full here on earth. Party, have a good time. But the last few moments, I'll just say a prayer. And then everything will be forgiven. Man, when I studied the Bible, I was like, what? That won't have worked? Hey! John 14, verse 1 to 4. It says here, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? See, Jesus doesn't lie. Alright? He doesn't deceive. He said, if it was not so, I won't tell you what it is not. I won't tell you that there are many rooms there when there's only one room. No, I'll tell you straight up. But he says there are many rooms. I'm sure more than enough to accommodate every single one of us.
Yeah.
But you know where else? There are many rooms as well.
Where else from?
Let us know.
Hell.
Yikes.
You see, just because you don't talk about hell doesn't mean that it does not exist. Just because you shift your seats when it's mentioned doesn't mean it's going to cease to be present. You know, I like this quote. It says, a lie is a lie. So a lie will always be a lie, even if everybody believes it.
Yeah.
The truth will always be the truth, even if nobody believes it.
Yeah.
If nobody believes it, it's not going to stop being the truth.
Yeah.
You see what the word is? Live your truth.
Yeah.
If that's your truth, live it. Own it. Yabba dabba do it.
Go, bro.
And they've used that now just crazily, bringing crazy laws in. But truth isn't subjective. You don't create your own truth. Truth is one thing. Right? Imagine someone who's a serial killer. He gets arrested. He's in court. And they tell him, hey, you're guilty of all these crimes. And he says, well, that's your truth. My truth is I didn't do anything wrong.
Nice.
I'm guessing you support him, right?
No.
You would not?
Not.
You would not?
No.
You'd probably be like, lock him and throw the key away. Lock him up and make sure the key is never found. But that's the way the truth works. There's no, okay, this is what your own is, and believe it on your own basis. No, it's universal, it's standard. It's not anything, any deviation from it is a lie. Any deviation from it is a lie. That's really what it is. You see, in verse 3 and 4 here, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way, you know the way to the place where I am going." Isn't that the truth, eh? Jesus has a place in mind for us to go. But are you prepared to go? If you examined your life, if you examined your actions, your decisions, your thoughts, where would they lead you? If you examine them thoroughly, using the scriptures, where would they lead you? You see, for our guests, if there is a, the question for you is, if there's a God-shaped vacuum within you, what are you filling that vacuum with?
Ask it, bro.
If everyone has a God-shaped vacuum within us, I mean, you have it as well. Well, what are you filling that vacuum with? Now, I want to encourage you to study the Bible. And then there are some people, you've been studying the Bible for some time, but you've gotten stuck. Quicksand. Well, I want to encourage you to get unstuck.
Yeah.
Right? I want to encourage you to get unstuck. You know, the reason you're stuck is because, you know, you're holding on to something. But you have to ask yourself, when you stand before God, whatever it is you are holding on to, will it be worth it? Will it be really, really worth it? Remember, death is inevitable. Let's go to our second point. Point number two. We'll go back to Ecclesiastes. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Point number 2. No, don't worry. Point number one was my longest point. Point number 2 is, and 3 are like, just blew through it. So, now remember, the first point, that was the first bread, right? Sorry, the first bread is not on top. The first bread is the one that is, you know, it goes underneath,
yeah.
Right? So now we're going to look at the other bread.
Yeah.
Right? So, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. From 11 to verse 12. So we're going to go now to the base. 11 to verse 12. You understand what I'm talking about? Base, top, whatever the bread is. Bread is bread.
Yeah, so,
Ecclesiastes chapter 9 from verse 11 to 12. It says, 11 to 12, chapter 9. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Second point here is, life is uncertain. Trust God's sovereignty. The first point is, death is inevitable, right? Stop fearing it. The second point is, life is uncertain. Trust God's sovereignty. You see, without God, the world is just flat depressing. If it's not depressing, then why is it that people who have gotten to like the top of their careers, people who have, you know, made it with fame, wealth, position, privilege, all of a sudden just decide to end it all?
Yeah.
Just commit suicide.
Talk about it.
Just end it all. Why is that? You see, without God, this world is flat depressive. You see, the whole point of this is, God allows, if you see everything that we read here, the race not being to the swift, the battle not being to the strong. I mean, the one might not be, I'm strong because I want to win the battle.
Yep.
So what do you mean by the battle is not going to be won by those who are strong? You know, do you know how many hours I use in the gym every week?
Let's go.
Come on.
people that have become so they've exercised so much now that, you know, if they want to turn and look behind them, they have to turn their whole body. They can't do this. They have to be like, and then they turn back. because everywhere has just been muscled up.
Let's go, bro.
Come on.
And then you now get to a battle and just get defeated. Ah,
yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
Or you get mugged. Who said that? Somebody said, or you get mugged. It was you. Yeah, you get mugged. And I saw your scums stab you, what? And the people, I know the people now ask you, like, ah, you got mugged. You know, you say, ah, you got mugged. Wow. How many were they? One person. Were they taller than you? No, they had a knife. Hey. But I thought with all these things. No, but people are annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are annoying. It reminded me of this joke this comedian said. He said, you know, he had a girlfriend. It was a joke. I don't think he had a girlfriend, truly. He said he had a girlfriend, but he didn't do his due diligence to find out her background. Then what, he had a disagreement. And, you know, he just said, he had threatened her, look, if you speak to me like that, I will hit you. Ba, 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 ba. Not knowing that she has a black belt in karate. So they were indoors and they were yelling. This is a joke. This is a joke. Okay? So it's not chew me out for this. And he said that, you know, they were indoors, and next thing, neighbors just started hearing bruh, 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 bruh. So they had been hearing his voice, so they assumed he was really hitting the girl. But he was the one getting turned out. You know, this girl tossed him to the left, to the right, tossed him up, tossed him down. You know, he was trying to grab things. And then, after it was all done, so the numbers were now hitting the door. Eventually, they broke down the door, that this guy's going to kill this girl. So they broke it down. But they broke it down to a surprising, you know, scenario. They saw the girl on top of the guy with fists folded like this. The guy's face, puffy. You know, kind of, madam, is everything okay? Then the guy got up. The punchline of the joke is, in that kind of situation, you're trying to hold tears back. Right? But then, the people that are around will now come and say, hey, then they'll now ask you, what happened? So he tried to hold tears back. I tried to explain what happened. The tears just come flowing. So they asked him, what happened? He said, he was, I should kill them. Oh man, I almost died. It's a very funny joke. If you are Nigerian, you even understand it more. But you see there, what was the point of that joke anyways? I've forgotten the point of that joke. But you see, the whole point of this is God allows people to be frustrated. You remember when I looked in Romans 8, he says, God, the creator frustrates the created being. God allows us to be frustrated so that we can turn to him. But sadly, some people do not turn to him.
Yeah.
Instead, they turn into taking their own lives.
Yeah.
Right. God allows all this frustration so that in seeking a solution, we turn to him.
Yeah.
But there's some people that do not do that. You see, just because we are strong or we are fast or we are intelligent, that does not guarantee that our circumstances in this world will be different.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Right? Life is uncertain. You know, while things may appear, now it says here that life and chance, like if you look at verse 11, it says, time and chance happen to them all. There's some things you can think about, like, oh, you know, it's just by chance. You know, oh, man, it was a coincidence. And what? To us, it might seem like it's a chance. It's a chance happening. But to God, God allows these things to happen, or
yeah,
he makes them happen.
Yeah.
God doesn't work with chance. He doesn't work with coincidence.
Yep.
I think I said it before the other day. Like, if I do good, then good will come to me. You know, if I do good, then good will come to me. I put good into the universe,
yeah,
then the universe will be good. That's not Christianity.
Okay.
That's Hinduism.
That's true, bro.
That's the law of karma.
Yeah.
You put good into the world, then good will come back to you. as well. So that's not Christianity. You see, and this is something that can be tough for us to accept. It can be tough for us to accept. What do you mean? What do you mean that, you know, things won't, if I do it in a certain way, it won't necessarily work out well? Because life is uncertain.
Yeah.
Right? Life is uncertain and you don't call the shots.
Wow. Absolutely.
You don't have the power. And again, like I said, if you have an issue with that, your issue is not with me. It's with the scriptures. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2.
1
Peter chapter 2. You see, 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, it's quite interesting. Like I said, life is uncertain. I mean, everyone knows about just this situation with the rains.
Yeah.
And man, it's been crazy. My wife and I were going, on TikTok yesterday, looking at some videos of these floods. What?
Yeah.
I saw a video, I don't know how old it was, but I saw a video of the section of the highway that goes past the Imara Mall. We are going towards Embakasi.
Mm.
I saw the water.
Yeah.
I saw another section of Tika Superhighway. I said, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
There's some other videos where we're watching a Toyota Noah and the water was just carrying it like this.
Wow.
Right off. You know, I read some news reports. I think I read one news report on Citizen Digital that the death toll right now is about 188.
Wow.
Across southern Kenya, you know, places like Nakuru, Naivasha, Moranga. If that's Morang, I don't know if I'm getting it right. But that place, on my bay, you know, those areas that have gotten flooded. And people, there was even a particular area, Mai Mahiu. Mai Mahiu. Apparently, there's a dam close to that a village there that got, it broke through. Like, it was weak, so it broke through. The water came, a landslide.
Wow.
They had to be digging people's bodies out of the aftermath. You see, but that's the truth. Life is uncertain. You know, nobody could have seen that coming. And really, if they even did as well, so there was a report I read where one of the people they interviewed said, you know, some of the churches around there, the pastor had warned them. I know. I know. Right? It's quite interesting. Said some of the churches around there, the pastor had warned them that was going to happen. I said they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And this stuff killed children, elderly, women, men. There's a man they interviewed, his entire family, wife and two children. There's a woman that was interviewed, a grandmother. People had come to visit her because they were trying to raise money for her son who was locked up in prison to bail him out. So people that had come, they had come with their children and, you know, and whatnot. She was the only one. Grandchildren, washed away. But you see, life is very uncertain. Right? It's very uncertain. And really, we can't even control what happens and what doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that life can throw at us can be very tough to accept.
Yeah.
It can even be tough to say, to accept that God allowed this to happen.
Because
imagine if you were in that situation with a mudslide. It will be tough to accept. How can God allow this to happen? How is this okay? Pastor, explain to me how it's okay. I can't explain it to you. And that's about to trust in God's sovereignty. To trust that He knows the things that we don't know. And we have to be okay with that. To trust that He knows the reason why. And if we don't know, and if He doesn't tell us what the reason is, that we'll still trust in Him regardless.
Yeah.
It's like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? They knew one thing, is that we should not worship any other god except God. That was the one thing they knew.
Yeah.
Whatever pain was going to bring, it was none of their business. So when the time came to stand for what they believed in and what they knew, they stood for it.
That's true.
Everybody else bowed. And remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only Jews in Babylon when that happened. But they were the only three Jews that were standing.
That's true.
They weren't the only Jews in Babylon, but they were the only three Jews that were standing.
Yeah.
And when they told them, look, that furnace, I'm going to toss you in there. The king told them, I'm going to heat it up 7 more times. Let them feel the heat. And they looked at the king, and they told him, he said, oh king, We don't have to explain ourselves to you in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how crazy that is? You stand before the president. He tells you to do something. And you tell him, I don't have to explain myself to you. And now even worse, imagine a military president like a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
But as I told Nebuchadnezzar, I don't have to explain myself to you in this matter. We don't have to explain ourselves to you. The God we serve is able to save us.
Yes.
Right? But even if he does not, that was the key in that scripture. He said the God we serve is able to save us. He has the power to do that. But even if he chooses not to save us in this moment, we want you to know that we will not change our mind.
Appreciate, bro.
But I'm paraphrasing here. That's what I was saying. But he told him, we want you to know that we will not bow down to your gods.
That's true.
Eh? And guess what happened? You'd have thought, okay, maybe as they're about to throw them in, an angel will come and stop it. No. They got tossed in.
Yep.
People that threw them in burnt alive. Like, they died. They didn't go in.
Yeah.
That's how hot it was. But they got caught by the fire and they got burnt alive.
Yeah.
But what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were bound. The rope came off. From three, they became four in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking around. They went rolling. They were walking around in the fire.
Yeah.
And when the king told them, step outside, they stepped outside of the fire, unburnt.
Mm-hmm.
Did they know that God was going to do that to them?
No.
In fact, even in their conversation, they said, we want you to know, even if he does not save us,
mm-hmm.
we will not bow down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same heart you have? Is that the same heart that your relationship with God gives you?
Talk about it.
Or is that when you face difficulty, it becomes...
Come on.
You know, is that the same trust you have in God? 1 Peter 2.
That's great.
1 Peter 2, verse 11 to 12.
With you, bro.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. It says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as a true Christian understands that they're a foreigner in this world.
Yeah.
A true Christian understands that they're an alien in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a foreigner in this world, then I shouldn't attach myself to anything that this world has to offer, this world has to give. I shouldn't give myself over to anything that this world has to give.
Come
on. Right? And we have to understand that's important. But it says here that abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. You know, what desires are waging, what sins are waging war against your soul? What sins are warring against your soul? Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You see, we need to understand that how we are living right now is an investment in our eternity.
Yeah.
How you live right now is an investment in your eternity.
That's so true.
You know? And we need to make sure that the lives we live will speak, will preach to the people that are around us. The lives we live as Christians needs to preach with those who are not Christians or those who say they are Christians, but they do not look like it,
yeah.
nor live like it.
Mm-hmm.
The life we live should preach to them. Because for many people, you are the only Bible that they will read.
Yeah.
For many people, they might have the Bible in their house, they'll never open it. But seeing you and how you live on a daily basis, the decisions you make, how you act, how you react, might be the only Bible that they read.
Yep.
You know? Now, sometimes they can be like, what? I have to continue to abstain my sinful desires. Can't they just disappear? I remember that happened to me. I thought, like, by the time I become a true Christian,
yeah.
all these my struggles, my addiction to pornography and masturbation will just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It will never disturb me anymore.
Yeah.
I'll never, you know, be struggling with lustful thoughts.
Talk about it.
I thought, nah, my mind would just be.
Mm.
I just start thinking things automatically, just holy and clean.
Mm.
But what I have to understand is, the devil is there, like, what do you think this is?
Yeah.
You think I will back down?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any such thing.
Mm.
I've heard it said that the only sin the devil is not guilty of is laziness.
That's true.
He's not lazy.
That's true. That's right.
He's hard at work.
Yeah.
You might think, I came to church today. The devil is not. No, he's outside. He's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
He will come outside. You come outside. Yeah. When you come outside, you get back to tangoing.
Yeah.
We'll pick up from where we left off.
Yeah.
We have to continue to abstain.
Yeah.
It's a continual battle. It's the reason why it's called spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Right? You have to continue to be in the battle. It's the reason why you have the armor of God as well, too. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to use that, to continue to abstain. You see, for the disciples here, are you still living as God's ambassadors?
Ask us, bro.
Or is the world beginning to make you its ambassador?
Ask us, bro.
If we turn to 2 Peter 3.
This is great.
Now, let's wrap this point up. 2 Peter chapter 3.
This is great.
In 2 Peter 3, right, this is what we say. This is what it says. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. The point of the letter was to stimulate them to wholesome thinking. Right? Full thinking. Mm-hmm. Not futile thinking, like it says in Ephesians 4. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. You see, that's quite interesting. Because by definition of this, I was once a scoffer. I remember thinking, from when I've been young, the pastor has always been preaching that Jesus is coming soon. You know, that was 10 years ago. Jesus has not come. Let me go and enjoy. I just make sure that I do everything back right before he comes back.
Yeah.
You know, that was when I was in high school. And then after high school, I got to university. I'm like, you know, this Jesus has been coming soon. He hasn't come yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let me still enjoy myself a little bit more. And that continued. Maybe I'm sure you guys have never happened to you. Never even thought about that at all. You know? But it continues on here. Continue here. Verse 5 says, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Talking about the flood. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire.
Woo!
So the same way God destroyed the world, it's water. It says here that they're reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. A thief doesn't tell you when they are coming. Mm-hmm. Anyone that has been robbed here?
Yeah.
Anyone that has been robbed or mugged?
Yeah.
Kaka James?
Yes.
Well, remember that time they came to acquire their phone from you? Did they give you advance notice?
No.
A thief doesn't get a lot. No. Seriously. I think it was a friend of mine that said it, like, whatever is stolen from you, the reason why you take it seriously is because you thought it was yours. No, really, it was not. You were being loaned to use it. And then when the time came for the real owner to come take possession of it, they approached you and they took it back from you. You know, I know it's a quite funny joke, but still. A thief doesn't tell you, hey, I just want to let you know that I'll be coming tomorrow night. Just so be prepared. You know, make sure everything is ready for me. That doesn't happen. Right? In the same way, the day of the Lord, there's no advance warning. There's no get ready by 3 p.m. tomorrow. You know, that's going to be it. There's no such thing. But are we going to be ready? It continues on in verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heaven by fires and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. You see, if we truly understand our inevitable destiny, It will lead us to live holy and godly lives. It will lead us to make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and to be at peace with God. But is that really what you're striving after? Is that really how you are living at the moment? How are you currently living? Final point. Now that we know that the death is certain and life is certain, how should we live as a result?
Yeah.
Now we've established death is inevitable and life is uncertain. So then how should I live? Because you're going to be like, then it's hopeless. Then no, it's not hopeless. Let me just bear with me. Yeah. Let's go to our final point. We'll go back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
Let's go, bro.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to read verse 7 to verse 10. So how should we live as a result of seeing that death is inevitable and life is uncertain? From verse 7 to verse 10. Look at what it says. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white. And always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither walking nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Third and final point, life is a gift. Enjoy it responsibly. You know, that's always the challenge. You say, life is a gift. Enjoy it. Aha. That's open-ended. Because different people have their own definition of enjoyment. Well, life is a gift. Enjoy it responsibly. You see, life is not all duty and no fun. It's just boring. You know, there's no good time. No. The Bible actually tells us in John 10:10, that Jesus gives us life to the full.
Yeah.
When we live in Jesus, we live life to the full. And really, it is life to the full.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scripture here, Solomon shares four things in this text that we can use to cope with life's uncertainty and death's inevitability. In line that death is inevitable and life is uncertain, Solomon gives us four things in this text that we can use to cope with that knowledge. Number one is, you see it in verse 7, right? Enjoy food and drink with gladness of heart and a joyful heart. You know, the tongue you have, the tongue God has given you, is to eat and taste and enjoy meals. Right? Don't let some short black West African man come and tell you that your food is not tasty. Okay? Don't let anybody come and tell you, look, they have an issue with you eating your machoma and their ugali.
Uh-huh.
And you know, side by side, don't forget that person. I'm not talking about myself, but forget about whatever I say, right? You have the tongue, you have to enjoy the meals you have.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have some samaki and ugali, go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have some yamaya and gurue, go ahead and do that as well too.
Yeah.
But maybe uji power is your poison.
Yeah.
Enjoy it as well too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's you know, pishori with some I don't know. Let me show you Wali with some beef stew. Or some pilaf, like my brother Baraka here makes. Right? Whatever it is, God has given that talk to enjoy these meals. Right? And also, you can also try some other meals outside of East Africa as well, too. You know? You know what? I have had ugali. I've had ugali. I've had with beef stew and chicken stew. I've had pilau. I've had a kukuchoma, you know, with chapati. You know, even recently, I had I didn't know this stuff was this good. Pumpkin chapati.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
That stuff is real. Oh! I was like, pumpkin chapati. I was skeptical at first. But then I took a bite. I'm like, what is this? All this time I've been here, nobody told me about pumpkin chapati. You're talking about chapati, but pumpkin chapati.
Yeah.
That stuff is real.
Okay.
That stuff is real.
Let's go, bro.
You know, but yeah. Enjoy the meals
yeah.
I need to eat. You know, enjoy the delicacies that God has surrounded you with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Enjoy your food and drink with gladness of heart. What other thing did he show us in verse 8 there? It says, always be clothed in white. Now, the reason why it says because White was what people wore at parties. Right? Was what people wore at parties. And he says, pour oil on your head. Now, you pour oil on your head. I know people kind of over-specialize these things, but really, it's not that deep. You pour oil on your head so that your skin doesn't crack. You know, now you use lotions. You know, now there's like all these adverts for all these lotions. You know, there's lotion for the hand. There's one for the feet. There's one for the... You just rub it in gently. You know, there's the one that that closes up pores. There's the one that clears blackhead. I'm like, oh my goodness. Just give me some Vaseline and maybe I'll make do with that. But what he's talking about here is, the point here is to celebrate. Right? There's always a reason to celebrate. You don't have to throw a party and shut down the streets and shut down Nairobi. No. But there's always a reason to celebrate.
That's right.
You know, smell the, you know, take a break. Smell the roses. Enjoy just what God has put around you. There's always a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
Solomon shares that with us. But then it goes on. That's number two. The third one, it says here, is enjoy life with your wife.
Amen.
Right? Now, for those who are not married yet, enjoy your relationships.
Amen.
You know, and when I say relationships, I mean friendships.
Yeah,
right?
Let's go, bro.
Enjoy your friendships.
Mm.
If the relationship in the context of it being godly,
yes.
Right? Enjoy it. If there is a godly relationship, that's amazing. Enjoy it. If it's ungodly, I think you know exactly what to do about that.
Yes.
But you see, enjoy your life with your wife. Right?
Amen.
But the important thing is this, though. You have to love God.
Yeah.
If you don't love God, you won't be able to love your spouse.
Yeah.
If you don't love God, you won't be able to appreciate your friendships.
Yeah.
You won't. You see, for the marrieds here, are you too busy to enjoy your spouse and encourage them?
Great question.
You know, one of the traps that men can fall into, husbands, let's put the husbands now, can fall into is, well, I've gone out, I've worked all day, I've brought the money back home.
Mm.
You know, why shouldn't that be enough?
Mm.
Well, newsflash, it is not enough.
Yeah, that's right.
You should take your wife out on a date.
Yes.
Every week.
Yes.
Not only on your anniversary.
Talk about it.
Not married.
Come on.
Not only on your anniversary, but take her on a date. Before she said yes, before you pop the ring, remember, you took the risk. You know, and she said yes. Right? You now think, amen, I busted through. Now I'm not allowed to do any work. No, you have to continue to date your wife.
Yes, come on.
Right? Before she said yes, you're taking her out. Hey, then let's go out. Let's go to this place. Let's go to that place. Let's, you know, take a walk in Arboretum. Let's go over to that. You know, let's... Every prayer was, let's go to this place and that place.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're married. I've gotten the ring on your finger. Now all of that dries up. No, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't. Because the reason why she said yes was because, man, you know, she was blown away by her creativity. She was blown away by her romantic side. You know? Because she believed that was a part of you.
Come on.
Husbands?
Yes.
And you know women, for men. Single, creativity.
Uh-huh.
Swag. Swag, poise, everything. You know, make sure you walk out, make sure you keep the belly flat, make sure you look good.
Yeah.
Now you get married.
And
it seems that person is the person of the past. No.
Let's go.
No, if you're dating her before she said yes, you should be dating her after she said yes.
Amen.
All right. If you were making every effort before she said yes, you should be making every effort.
Amen.
After she says yes.
Amen. Come on.
Can I get an amen for the marriage?
Amen.
For the married, married men.
Amen.
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 Now, for the singles.
Amen.
Oh, you thought I was going to leave you behind?
Singles.
No. For the singles. Right? Who are the relationships you value and appreciate?
Mm.
Right? The friendships you have. What kind of influence do they have on you?
Mm.
Is it godly influence?
Mm.
Or is it ungodly influence? Mm. Right? I know the interesting thing of where you say, I just hang out with them. I don't do what they do. That doesn't work. You know, no, I'm just there, but I don't do what they do. I don't smoke what they smoke. I don't drink what they drink. I'm just there. You're just there. Well, guess what? If you were just there, and everybody else was doing hard drugs, and the Kenya Police Service pull up, and you tell them I was just here, you think they're going to listen to you?
No.
you are going to end up in that van with those that were doing their hard drugs. Because it's guilt by association.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing as well, too, with our friendships.
Yeah.
What kind of influence do our friendships have on us? You know, what kind of, are you influencing your friends or are they influencing you? You know, and you have to ask yourself, what relationships do you need to invest in today? What are the relationships that you need to really prioritize today? You know, and then the last thing here that Solomon says in verse 10, right? It says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. You know, enjoy whatever your hands find to do. Enjoy your work. Enjoy your vocation. Whatever it is that, you know, whatever work God has allowed you to have at that point in time, enjoy it. Be the best at it.
Yeah,
do not be the problematic employee. The one that the boss has to always complain about. Fine, yes, it's not the job I want to be doing. Does that mean you should now really make yourself off-putting to everybody around you? No, you shouldn't do that. Right? Instead, enjoy what it is that you do. Enjoy your vocation, enjoy your work. This, all of this, they are all gifts from God.
Yeah.
They are all gifts from God. In closing here, Revelation 21. My final scripture. Revelation 21. You know, in closing here, I have to ask you, how would your priorities change if you knew you were going to die today? You know, how would it change your priorities if you knew that you're going to die today? What would you do differently? What is something that you've been putting off that immediately to just, how would it adjust your perspective? How would it adjust your lens?
Great question. Come on.
If you knew you're going to die today. Revelation 21, verse 3. From verse 3.
Come on.
This is what it says. It says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Wow. That's amazing. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who has seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the sexually immoral, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You see, one day, the old order of things will pass away, and those who are united with God will be victorious. Those who are truly God's children will be victorious, while those who chose the way of darkness will be condemned. You see, don't wait till your last day. Don't wait till your last day on earth to enjoy special time with friends. Don't wait till your last day to spend great quality time with family. Don't wait till your last day to travel, to, you know, see places, to go on a mission team.
Yep.
Don't wait till your last day to enjoy all the gifts that God has given you. Don't spend your life just whining and complaining and moaning about the things that you can't change, the things that are inevitable, the things that are uncertain, the things that you have no control over. Instead, spend your life enjoying the gifts that God has given you. But you can only do that if you have a true relationship with God.
That's right.
You know, as the old say, there's an old adage that goes like this. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That is why it is called the present. Decide today to make your eternal destiny one of victory and not of defeat. Thank you, and to God be the glory.
Some assumptions.